Good morning.
Morning.
We are continuing our theme of holiness this morning. And we're going to do that by beginning like we usually do, by saying our focus verse. Our October focus verse is from the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 26. And we're going to all say that together. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. That's the concept of holiness. God tells us, you need to be holy because I, God, am holy, and what I've done is I've taken you and I've separated you away from all the filth of all of what the world is, and I want you, instead of being like that, I want you to be mine. That's the concept of holiness. And what we've done so far is our first lesson, we talked about what holiness was, and then last week we talked about what sin was, and we looked at the other side of it, and then Sunday evening we looked at what obedience was. So we've looked at this from all these different perspectives, but really in more of a general sense. Today I want to finally start getting specific. Now that we've seen the big concept of holiness, now let's talk about some specific applications that we can do each day in our lives to actually be holy. And I want to start that this morning with what I consider to be really a difficult one. This one's one of those tough ones. This is the concept of the Christian and entertainment. This is one of those areas where holiness really gets practical and the rubber meets the road when we make decisions every day about entertainment. We live in a culture that has all sorts of entertainment, all sorts of entertainment options on a daily basis. And every day we make those decisions about what are we going to watch on TV, or what are we going to listen to for music, or what movie do we watch, or what kind of book do we read, or what kinds of people do we spend time with, or the list goes on and on and on with TV shows and what we like on Facebook and what we do on the internet, and on and on and on and on. These are practical type decisions, and these are decisions about holiness. But when you start working through those decisions, you find out those are really difficult decisions. A lot of times, it's not a clean black and white kind of thing where you can say, all right, this one and this one. A lot of times, the decision I might make might be different than the decision that you might make. And if we looked at all of us, we might find that we each fall in a slightly different spot in some of these decisions. We each draw the line in a different place. Well, that's a challenge. But hopefully, each of us, especially as we study God's Word, hopefully each of us begin to draw the line closer to where God draws the line. Because that's what we're after. And that's why we need to study this topic. And we're going to do that, as I promised this morning, we're going to do that from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. So open your Bibles to Ephesians, chapter 5. We're going to look at the first 17 verses of that chapter this morning. I wanted to save this part from our class this morning so that we could just really dive into it and go into a whole lot more depth and detail, and especially look at how it relates to this concept. Ephesians chapter 5 draws this picture of white and darkness. That here you have a world full of darkness, and here you have us as light. And he lays out that imagery, and then Paul just takes it and he gives application after application of what does that look like here, what does that look like there. What I want to do this morning is I want to just go through the text and just understand here's what Paul teaches. Not make a whole lot of application at first, just kind of figure out here's what Paul's teaching. Then at the very end of the sermon, we're going to look and say, all right, what does that mean about entertainment? And hopefully we can all just see that and say, all right, that means this, this, and this for what my decision needs to be throughout the rest of the week. All right, so let's start with this. In the first few verses, he gives us a picture of darkness. He says, this is what darkness is. In order to understand this concept, you've got to understand there's a whole lot of darkness out there. He starts here in verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So he's leading in here. This is the kind of connector from the previous chapter. The previous chapter, he told us about how we need to be loving each other and forgiving each other, doing it just like how Christ forgave us. And now he says, and imitate God like beloved children. This concept of imitating God takes us right back to what we talked about in our very first sermon on holiness. Remember how we said the foundational principle of holiness is it's like we're God's kids, and we want to grow up to be just like God. We want to imitate our Holy Father in every possible way. That's what Paul's saying here. Be imitators of the holiness and the purity of who God is. Live like that. Now, every parent has some kind of expectations for their children. When we raise our kids, we have some sort of expectations about, you know, this kind of thing you shouldn't do, this thing you should. This is going to be really dangerous for you if you go off in this direction. God's exactly the same way with us. There are certain things that he warns us, don't go that direction. That one's going to be deadly. And that's what Paul elaborates on as we get to the next verse. Verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolishness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. All right, there's our darkness. Paul, if you really put these into categories, I see one, maybe two general categories of the kinds of sins that Paul's describing here. The first one, he's talking about sexual immorality. And he spends most of this section elaborating on what he means by that. He starts with this word, immorality, or some translations will say fornication. This is just a very general word to talk about any kind of sexual sin, whether it be homosexuality or whether it be any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage, just some, any kind, just big general, all those things are wrong. Then he takes it from the action to this other word that makes it even more general when he said impurity or filthiness. This term impurity means morally unclean in life or in thought. So here what Paul's doing is he's taking it, he started with the action is wrong, then he expanded it, kind of like Jesus did on the Sermon on the Mount, and he shows us even the thought is wrong. With this impurity, it's kind of just anything that's at all dirty, that's darkness. Whether it's dirty in the way I act, whether it's dirty in the way I think, any of that, he says, that's darkness. That's not the light. That's not the way Christians are. Christians don't have anything to do with that. He says, that shouldn't even be named among you. He says, it's not even something that you should even have a hint or a speck of that kind of stuff. Christians and these kinds of things, those don't go together at all. All right, then he takes us even further. He talks about filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking. All right, this filthiness. Now he's taking it all the way to the way we talk. Before it was action, the thoughts. Now what about our conversations, the things we say, the things we hear that are said? What about those kinds of things? Well, some translations will say instead of filthiness, it will say obscenities. All right, we all know the kinds of things that's talking about. So this picture of anything that those kinds of off-color kinds of things, those things that shouldn't be talked about, those language, vocabulary that shouldn't be used, Paul says, all right, all that stuff, that's darkness. He says, and on top of that, he even warns us not just the vocabulary that's wrong, he takes us all the way to the humor that's wrong. Don't use this language that's bad, but then also, he says, don't even just take something that's sinful and turn it into some kind of joke. If it's wrong when it's serious, it's certainly going to be wrong when I'm joking about it. And so he says, all this filthy kind of language, filthy kind of jokes, all that, that's wrong. We don't do that. That's not what light is. That's what darkness is. Okay, so Paul spelled it out very, very clearly. He's given us as specific terms as he can to say, look at darkness. It's this pinpoint right there. Here's another darkness. It looks like this. He's kind of put it under the microscope. Okay, now we see what the darkness is. At the end of this, he takes us from sexual immorality to, he also talks about covetousness. Now here, covetousness, it could be, because it's linked so much with immorality, it could just be in a general sense this kind of lusting after what all these things, or it could be talking like we generally use with covetousness, material possessions kind of covetousness, this kind of concept of greed, this materialism. And if that's what he's saying here, you think about these two things, immorality and greed. Those are two things that just characterize so much of the sin of our culture. How many commercials do you have to watch before you see one of those two things? Either immorality or greed. It's just constant. That's what our world just thrives on, is those two concepts. And Paul says, those two concepts are darkness. That is not the way a Christian should be. All right, but then someone looks at that and they say, well, Paul, okay, I know those are kind of bad, but really, Paul, are those really all that bad? Are those really all that wrong? Aren't you kind of being a little bit extreme by throwing all those things and just throwing them in this big bucket of darkness? And that's where Paul says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Paul says, don't be deceived. He knows there's people out there who are trying to deceive us, who are going to say, oh, but it's not so bad. Oh, but it's just a little bit of language. Okay, it's just a little bit of this filthiness. It's not that bad. Paul says, look, let me tell you how bad it is. It's because of these things that the wrath of God is coming. What he's basically saying is, these things are leading people to hell. It's that bad. It's very, very serious. And if I ever start to trivialize it and think, well, you know, I'll just kind of overlook it. It's not all that much of a problem. Paul's going to shake me and try to wake me up a little bit and say, look, it's sending people to hell. Don't you care about that? Don't you see how serious this is? This is sin we're talking about. All right. So he's shown us here what this sin looks like. And so then he says, therefore, do not become partners with them. That's verse 7. If sin is that bad, he says, don't be partners, or some translations will say partakers with them. It's not just that Paul says don't do the action. It's that the word that he uses here is this kind of idea of joining them in that action. You know, it's much easier to fall into sin when there's somebody else who's doing the sin. When I can just kind of walk right alongside them, then it becomes a whole lot easier. And Paul said, oh, no, don't do that. I know you're surrounded by people every day who are going that direction, but don't walk that way. You're headed a different way. Don't be a partaker in that. And you see that theme throughout all the Bible. When Solomon writes the book of Proverbs and he's giving his son all this wisdom and everything, he's barely finished the introduction before he says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. You see, that's probably the first warning in the book of Proverbs about sin. And it's this concept of, if sinners say, hey, let's go this way, you tell them no. It all starts with us telling them no. Okay, so that's the picture of darkness. Now let's turn it around. Let's talk about who we are. Verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul says, that's what you used to be. You used to be in the darkness. You used to do these kinds of things, but there's a change, just like we talked about in Bible class this morning. There's a change now. And this change, he says, now you're the complete opposite. It's not that, oh, now we're kind of getting a little bit more gray. He says, no, now we're bright. Now we're light. And in fact, he says, we're children of God. He takes us back to this concept that we had at the beginning of the chapter. We're God's children. But now, if God is light, then who are we as God's children? Here in the book of John, John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This concept that God is just so bright, there's not even a little bit of a shadow or a little bit of an impurity. It's just absolute brightness. It's just as bright as the sun just radiating down. If we're descended from him, what do we look like? Try to visualize that in your mind. I think of these little beams of light coming down. That's who we are. There's no darkness in that. That's this picture of we're these beams of light coming down here onto this earth. That's who we are. Now, what does that mean practically? What is the role of light. We need to be different. And he shows us here in this text that this role of light is not just that we abstain from darkness, but it's this active kind of thing. The first thing you see about this is when he talks about that, in that next verse, he talks about bearing fruit, the fruit of light. It shows this picture I would describe as this actively radiating. He talks about how we're bearing the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. That being light is this very active, proactive kind of thing. You see that in the things that Jesus talked about. When you read through the book of John, our scripture reading was from the book of John. You read through the book of John, you get Jesus talking about light over and over again throughout that book of John. One of the passages I like is John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus connects this concept of light with doing God's work. John chapter 9, verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. Here, this is just before Jesus heals this blind man. Just before Jesus does this action here, he says, look, we need to be as light. We need to be going out and doing, actively doing God's work, doing the works of light. And so here's the picture. Here I am as light. I need to be radiating those things that Paul talked about. Righteousness, goodness, truth. Those things are what needs to be beaming from me. Whatever I touch needs to just be glowing with the radiance of all of those kinds of positive attributes. Now, that's going to be difficult because in different situations, I may have to make some different decisions. In some cases, I may have to handle this situation this way, and this situation this other way. Paul says it like this. Let's back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. The key to this is that I need to be trying to figure out, what does God want? For me to be this radiating light, it's me actively asking the question, what does God want me to do in this situation? Now, that's a very different question than what we sometimes ask. We might ask the question, well, I wonder if God would be okay with me doing this. That's not the question that Paul tells us to ask. He says, I need to ask, what could I do right now to please God? That's light. That's me looking at the positive and saying, how can I be more like God? What can I do? Not just how can I avoid sin, but what can I do that would make God really happy right now? So first of all, we're actively radiating. Secondly, he shows us that light overcomes darkness. Now that's what it needs to do. That's what hopefully it will do. Here's the way he describes it. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. All right, so here Paul says, don't take any part in what they're doing. They're doing all these sinful, evil things. You don't have anything to do with it. You don't even just, oh, I want to take a little appetizer, a little sample. No, he says, there's a fence around that. We're not doing that. Instead, he says, we need to be exposing those things. That's what light does. When light shines down on darkness, it's not that they all, you know, kind of start getting mixed up. No, he says, now it's like you turn the light on in the room. Bam, everything's bright now. Now you can see everything. All that stuff that was so filthy before that you couldn't really see because it was so smoggy over there, now when that light comes in, everything's clear. It's like when you're outside and you lift up that rock, and underneath it, all these bugs start scattering. You didn't even know those bugs were there, but as soon as you open it up and they're not in the darkness anymore, they're all running everywhere. He's saying that's what happens when our light shines in the darkness. All of a sudden, you see all that sin. Now, here's where this really gets us tripped up. It's not just an idea that I don't practice sin. He's telling us it's not that I just say, okay, I don't notice it. I'm okay with that. I don't really notice this sin. He says, when light comes in contact with darkness, we notice the sin. We see there's a problem there. That's what light does. It illuminates it. And so when I start to say, well, you know, I don't think that darkness is such a problem for me. I don't even notice it. It doesn't even bother me. I better be noticing it. When a Christian stands next to something that is filthy, it's not that you say, oh, you know, I guess that wasn't so bad after all. Instead, you say, whoa, that is really dark and ugly over there. That's the presence of light next to darkness. That's what it needs to be. Now, here's what he's done. He's first shown us, don't practice sin. Then he's shown us, don't even laugh about sin. Then he's saying, don't take sin lightly. But now he says, don't ignore sin. When I come in contact with sin, that sin needs to be noticed. And here's what it does when that sin is illuminated. Look at what Paul says. Verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. What he's saying here is when my light shines in on that darkness, ideally what it's going to do is it's going to bring other people to the light as well. Here he's saying for anything that becomes visible is light. This concept that when that light comes down, shines on it, brings others to the light as well. That's ideally what we're going for here. That's the role of light. That's what you see when Paul was converted. Remember, here he is clearly living in the darkness, and then Christ's light shines down on him, exposes exactly who he is, and then turns him around to the light. That's the picture of what this should do. And that's what Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus talked about how let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They see our light. They're seeing those good works. They're glorifying God in heaven. These are people who were not Christians. They see our light. Turns them around. Now they're glorifying God. That's the purpose of light. Okay, that's a big job. Here's the challenge with all of that. This is a fairly simple concept as far as there's darkness, we're light. But when we start to get into little details here, it starts to get a little confusing and difficult. Here we are, we're around all of that darkness. We don't want to be involved in that darkness. We don't want to touch that darkness. We don't even want to talk about that darkness. And yet, at the same time, he's saying that light should be influencing the darkness to bring it to the light. Well, that's difficult. There's a lot of situations where, well, if I do that, am I going to be influencing them, or are they going to be influencing me? How do I go about this? And that's where it comes down, this final point. We need wisdom. We need to walk wisely. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He's saying, this kind of a life is going to require a lot of wisdom. It's going to require a lot of decisions, even on a daily basis, where I'm trying to decide, should I walk this way, or should I walk that way? And the truth is, there's been a lot of people who walked in the wrong kinds of ways. He says, don't do that. Don't be foolish. It's very easy to be foolish. It's very easy to walk in the wrong kind of direction with this. He's saying it's going to take some wisdom. I'm going to have to educate myself and make some better decisions about which direction I'm walking when it comes to these things. And he gives us a few things to keep in mind. One is, he says, our time. He says, making the best use of the time. All right, I've only got so much time here on earth. And he's saying, here while we're on earth, there's a lot of darkness around me. We're living in this world that's completely darkness. It says, because the days are evil. So here we're living here in these evil days. How am I using my time? That's going to take some wisdom. That's going to take some decisions. And he says, don't be foolish. Instead, we need to understand what is God's will. Proactively thinking, what does God want me to do in this situation? How does God want me to use my time right now? Go do that. All right, now let's take this to the topic of entertainment. What I want to do, now that we've gotten the picture of this whole text, I've prepared five questions that we're going to look at. Five questions from this text. And I want us to be able to just take these questions and take them home, and just whenever we have a question about what should my entertainment be, we can go from this text, ask this question, and hopefully make a good decision that would be the decision Christ wants us to make about this. The first one is over from verses 3 and 5. Well, I phrased it like this. Does my entertainment include any of the following? Immorality, impurity, filthiness, or crude joking? We saw Paul said that's what darkness is. He describes darkness in those kinds of ways very explicitly. He says this is what darkness looks like. And so whatever my entertainment is, whether it's TV, whether it's movies, whether it's Facebook, whether it's the internet, whether it's music, whether it's reading a book and thinking not only about myself but about my kids and whoever else I may influence, whatever our entertainment may be, an easy starting point is just to go through this list like Paul does and just define our right. Is it in the darkness or is it in the light? Now, at this point, we haven't decided yet whether or not we should be engaged in it or not. We're just gathering facts right now. So just gathering the data, you can typically, it doesn't take long before you can check it off whether it falls into that category or whether it falls, or whether it doesn't include any of those things. All right, so working from that, now here's the next question we can ask from this text. Question number two. Will this entertainment lead me to take sin less seriously? That's in verse 6. That's the one where Paul talks about how don't be deceived. How there's all these people out there who are going to tell you, oh, it's not so bad. And Paul says, oh, it is so bad. It's, in fact, this is what's sending people to hell. This is why the wrath of God is coming. So when it comes to my entertainment, I need to look at that and say, which direction is this going to start leading my thinking? Am I going to start thinking sin is more serious because of this? Or am I going to start trivializing sin because of this entertainment? All right, third question. Will this activity lead to things that are good, right, and true? That was from verse 9, where Paul talked about how the fruit of light, we're light, things that we produce are things that are good and right and true. If that's who I am, if I am that light that is shining out and producing those kinds of things, then I need to start looking at my different activities and asking myself, am I producing that? If I'm light, I better be producing that. If I'm routinely engaging in activities that don't give me any opportunity to produce those things, then maybe I need to rethink about the structure of my day and what I fill my day with. All right, question number 4. What could I do right now to please God? That's from verse 10. That's where Paul talks about trying to determine what is pleasing to the Lord. Paul tells us we need to be asking that question. We need to be thinking constantly, what is it that I can do right now that's going to please God? Now, this is taking that entertainment out of the realm of just, well, does it have some filthiness in it? And taking it into the realm of, what would make God happy right now? As we talked about, there's different questions we can ask. We could ask the question, would God be okay with me doing this? Or we can ask the question, what can I do that would please him? And maybe there's sometimes, you know, where there's an activity that in itself doesn't seem so bad. But when I start thinking this way, I think, you know, there's something even better that God really, really wants me to do right now. All right, question number 5. Final question. Would this activity give me an opportunity to expose the darkness? I'm sorry, there's 6 questions. This is one more after this. Would this activity give me an opportunity to expose the darkness? That's from verse 11. Here's this concept that Paul's laid out for us. Light, as we looked at, it has this exposing kind of thing, where light is about turning the darkness into light. Here's the problem. When we live in the world, there's a lot of people that where we have a chance to influence them. When I'm around that person at work who practices all those things we talked about, if I'm around that person, you know what? Maybe my light could turn them to the light. The challenge is when we put ourselves as Christians into this situation where we don't have that opportunity to influence the darkness, and the darkness has the opportunity to influence us. That's what happens so often with entertainment. I may not ever have the opportunity to influence that actor or actress, but he or she may have the opportunity to influence me. We have to think about that kind of situation. All right, last one to think about. Is this a wise use of my time? That's from verse 16, where Paul talks about how do we use our time because the days are evil. Whatever it is I do, whether it's entertainment or whether it's working my job or whatever, wherever I am, wherever I'm living, I need to constantly ask this question. Is what I'm doing right now a wise use of my time, given this scope that we live in an evil world and we are lights in that world? Now, those are six questions that we each may fall in a slightly different place on. But I think when we look at those and we start looking at those verses, it's going to guide us towards what God wants us to do with our time and with our thoughts. It's going to guide us in the path of holiness. That's what we want to be as Christ's church. You know, with a lesson like this, as we're thinking about holiness and we're trying to become more and more like God, it's one of those things where it makes you think a whole lot more about grace, about all the times we haven't done that, all those times where I wish I'd been more holy, but I went over to the darkness. And that's why we can be so thankful that God is willing to forgive us. If you've sinned against God and you're not a Christian and you need that forgiveness that He gives us, then we invite you to come forward and repent of your sins and turn to the light while together we stand and we sing.